to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Joining us is a preventive medicine physician and award-winning author. He's been featured on NBC, Fox News, ABC, and CBS, and publications such as the U.S. News and World Report and Huffington Post. That's just to name a few. Welcome, author of Live Long, Die Short, Dr. Roger Landry.
Hey, thank you very much. What an honor.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. Now, over the years, I've interviewed authors who've written books on diet, weight loss, fighting cholesterol, combating stress, but yours is the first book on successful aging, a topic that appeals to every one of us, including me. So share the concept behind Live Long, Die Short.
Yes, I'd be happy to. This all came from a seminal work that was in the mid-'80s to the mid-'90s, sponsored by the MacArthur Foundation. And Jonas Salk, who was on their board, says, let's study those who age in a better way. We've certainly studied the decline and how to respond to that and all the impairments. Let's study those who seem to have a better aging experience, seem to go on and on, and seem to just be able to get right back in the saddle after life's curveballs. So that work there stimulated a group I work with, and actually the book which depicted the results of and enumerated the results of that study was called Successful Aging, written by Rowan Kahn, one of their two leaders of the group. My group, it's an interesting story. Very quickly, Jonas Salk was noted to say, "Look, this is all very great. I'm very excited about it, but unless someone applies it, it's never going to work." So a group I was with started doing that about in 1999, and the whole idea was to make someone aware of the findings, which were 70% of how we age is determined by our lifestyle, the choices we make. If we pay attention to risk, we can markedly reduce the likelihood of being impaired and to have this course of decline. And lastly, if we stay engaged with purpose, we're more likely to have an experience of aging that has us at high levels of performance until our time is up, and then it's somewhat precipitous. And in public health, as you know, we call that the compression of morbidity. Morbidity is when we're sick and impaired, and we want to compress that time.
Right. And something you share in the book that is rarely mentioned in health and diet books is memory deterioration, whether it's forgetting where we left our keys to dementia to Alzheimer's disease. How can we combat losing our most valuable asset, our mind?
Well, the first thing, of course, is that, we in medicine have succeeded in fractionating the body into systems in order to be able to assimilate all the volume of material that's in each system. But in doing so, we have fractionated the human, and we fail to realize that there are whole organisms. So the brain, the heart, lungs, everything works in conjunction, much like a symphony orchestra. And so whatever affects the health of the body will indeed affect the health of the brain. So as you know very well, cardiovascular health is very, very important to the brain. Our brain needs blood supply. It needs glucose. And without that, if we have any kind of cardiovascular disease, heart disease or vessel disease or any of the things that lead to vessel disease, we're going to be compromised. So one of the first tenets of trying to minimize the loss of memory, which, by the way, is not synonymous with aging. We do not have to lose our memory with aging. It's something we see for many reasons, but it is not a sine qua non, something that is there because of a certain age. So the first thing is to move. Move. I mean, I guess today we would say exercise, but I like to go more basically in order to not scare people away. If they move, they're going to get better blood supply to the brain. Their brain's going to function a whole lot better. Of course, there are many other things that we can do also.
Right. One thing I want to bring up that you mentioned in the book, you say sitting is the new cigarette. That's interesting. Share that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I'm sure you saw the paper. Sitting is the new smoking was the title, and they actually did a very erudite scholastic review of the risks and found that the risk of sitting, a sedentary lifestyle, is greater than the risk of smoking a pack a day for your life. And once again, it goes back to who we are as humans. I mean, for 99% of the time we humans have been on Earth, we were hunter-gatherers, and we move perhaps 10 to 18,000 steps a day. And all of our systems became accustomed to that and functioned best on that. And now that we're a sedentary society where the average American person, they're in waking hours, spends at least 65% of their time behind a screen of some sort, and usually sitting. And all the devices we have to minimize movement, this is taking its toll. So, yes, this is a huge risk, not only for brain disease, brain Alzheimer's, dementia, but also, as you know, heart disease, cancer, all the biggies. And so a good start is to just start moving.
Start moving. I've always believed that routines, living a same old life year after year, is a primary cause of mental deterioration. How important is learning new things when it comes to keeping our brain active and healthy?
Oh, David, it's everything. Next to supplying the brain with blood, this is the very next thing. We have discovered, since you and I went to medical school, the brain has the ability to rewire itself, neuroplasticity. And that is to grow new brain pathways and new connections. And that seems to be somewhat protective for the onset of symptoms of dementia. But that doesn't happen unless we challenge the brain by learning new things. You know, as you know, on brain scans, we can see when someone is learning something new, areas of the brain just light up and get heavier and heavier over time because there are new connections being made. And so to the extent we do that, you know, certainly we can do the big things like learn a language or a musical instrument or a new craft, but even small things, and you mentioned it, routine, just getting out of your comfort zone, scaring yourself, doing something that you don't normally do, eat with the opposite hand, drive to the store a different way, get lost every now and then, go on a trip without all the arrangements made. These are tremendously helpful.
Yeah, that's what I actually, you're speaking like I do. I just tell people in general, is get out of the routine. Even if you're stuck in your same relationship or your job and you're bored, like you just said, just drive a different road, different restaurant, try something new, creates new stimulants in the brain because you've not done it.
It absolutely does. And we can now physiologically and physically see the results of that. And brain functions is tremendously improved by that. And we just think better, less memory loss, much more ability to learn new things. Just overall health is also improved.
That's great. Now, in your book, you share how working into your 70s extends your life. Now, my grandma was an epitome of health until she retired. A year later, she died. I'm convinced going to her job each day is what kept her alive. Share why retirement can lead to a shorter life.
Well, certainly retirement, as we define it, is disastrous. I mean, this is essentially, we marginalize our older adults. We pasteurize them, not like milk, but like horses. And we don't expect anything from them. Certainly, I'm not suggesting that we just continue the same old grind of working for pay if we're not stimulated by that, if that's not invigorating and something we really want to do. We do much better, and the MacArthur Foundation study showed this, when we have meaning and purpose in our lives, a reason to get out of bed. So, you know, a certain age should never be the reason why we essentially stop trying new things or looking for a reason to be or meaning and purpose. I got a great story, and I was in the Air Force, and I met Chuck Yeager.
We just got about 30 seconds, so tell that story.
Real quick, because he's quick, and he said he was going to break the sound barrier again on the 50th anniversary, and I told him, well, you'll be 73, and he says, what's your point? And because there I was, ageist in my 30s. Well, I don't do that now. So age should not be a factor. You got to follow our heart.
One thing, they tend to blame everything on old age. I had a patient come in last week with right knee pain, blaming old age. I asked her if her left knee hurt. She said no. I replied, well, both your knees were born on the same day, so how can you blame old age? And she looked at me and goes, wow, he's making some sense here.
Isn't so that the great. Case? Excellent,
yeah,
David.
We're fantastic. It was so good to have you on the show, and we'll get you back. I think there's a lot more we can cover with this topic, so fantastic. Appreciate you being here. And for more information and how to age gracefully and to get your copy of the award-winning book, Live Long, Die Short, you can go to livelongdieshort.com, livelongdieshort.com. You can follow Dr. Landry on Twitter at livelongdieshort. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter for my daily health tweets at Dr. David Friedman. Podcasts of all of our shows are available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share them with friends, family, post them on social media. We have more great health talk after this short break. Stay well and stay tuned.